Psalms number 86, Psalms chapter 86. I hope that the theme tonight of the thought that the Lord give me will ring a bell in your heart. I hope that it will, because it did mine. And I believe God's word is sufficient for everything that we have need of. And it'll always accomplish a work if we'll be sensitive to the Lord and allow it to. Now, we can reject it, and we can refuse it, but if we'll just be sensitive to the Lord and let His word do a work in our heart, it'll be a blessing to us. If you would, stand with us. We want to read two verses in Psalms 86, verse 6 and 7. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege that we have to be here. Lord, to be able to stand in this sacred place. God, I pray that you'll stand with me and help me. Lord, help me to say every word that you want said. And God, to refrain from the things, Lord, that are not needful. But God, help every individual to understand your love, your grace, your mercy. Lord, how much that you desire for each of us tonight to be filled with the joy of God. Help us tonight to submit ourselves unto the Holy Spirit. Get done what you want done tonight. Bless this church. Bless our pastor. God, I pray you'll strengthen him, encourage him, use him in a mighty way. God, he's a blessing to so many people in this great land. And I pray, God, tonight he'll be able to go forward for many years carrying the gospel. Bless tonight, Lord, and everything done. Honor you. We'll love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have heard this word several times in the last few days during prayer, during comment. But when I read it, every now and then I'll just find a location in Scripture that I'll read a while, and I ask the Lord to help me with it. And when I read this, I know when we think about revival, we think of a series of meetings where it's all a special occasion. But revival is something that happens in the individual's heart. It may happen during time of prayer. It may happen during time of your private devotion. It may happen by your bedside at night. It may happen in Sunday school on Sunday morning. But revival is something that God wants to help us with. What does revival mean? The word revive, according to the Greek New Testament dictionary and the Old Testament, the Hebrew, the word means to live, whether literally or figuratively, to keep, to leave, to make alive, to give promise and life, to let suffer to live, nourish up, preserve, quicken, recover, repair, restore to life, save alive, and to be whole. Now, to revive, why do we need reviving in any occasion? It's because we realize there's something missing, something lacking. In our own hearts, we don't judge everybody else by our own hearts, but most of the time, we can kind of tell when things get a little down and we get a little low, and we just get discouraged. We're all human. We're all flesh and blood, and we all have the same problems occasionally. But the Lord has made a way for us to get some help. And notice what David asked. He said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And the thought I'd like to say tonight, Lord, just do it again. I want the Lord to do it again. I know where I have been. I know where I am. And I know where I want to be. I want to be as close to the Lord as I can get in this old body. I know I've had problems with my flesh, and just like anybody else does. But I want to be close to God. He said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" David was a spiritual man. He had occasions where he was, he'd just get beside himself. And that's all right if the Spirit of God's in it. Remember when the ark was at Obed-Edom's house and they were bringing it back. And he got the leaping and the dancing in the Spirit of God with all his might. He glorified God. He was despised for it. He embarrassed his old flesh, but he glorified God. And he let that be his way of showing God that he's expressing all he had to glorify the Lord. And sometimes when we get to doing that, you know, you might lift a hand sometime, but if you'll notice, worshiping God is kind of contagious. Sometimes when somebody, maybe they'll just let out a squeal for the glory of God, that's contagious. Next thing you know, somebody else will surrender and submit themselves and let the Spirit of God lead them to worship God. David was a spiritual man. He was used to spiritual things. He knew what the Spirit of God could do, and he yielded himself to the Holy Spirit of God. God could bless David's life, but he come to this place. He asked this question, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice?" What did David have? He had a longing to worship God. And you know, worshiping God, sometimes I find myself occasionally no more than a spectator. And that's a sad, sad state to be in. Just come to the house of God, sit on a pew and be a spectator. I want to get involved. When the choir sings, I want to smile at them, nod my head. Every now and then, let them know that it's a blessing to me, an encouragement to me, that they won't get discouraged. You see, because if you're discouraged and looking at someone else, you'll cause them to be discouraged. It's contagious. It's contagious. We was talking the other night, sitting at the supper table back here in the other building, and I said, "Well, you know, you be around doubting people. If you're not careful, you'll start doubting yourself. If you're around pouting people, it'd do the same thing. You'll start to be in pouting and being bad. And when you run with a stinking group, it ain't be long. Won't be long, you'll be stinking too. You know what I'm saying? All things are contagious that way. But I was talking about Brother Tim. I'm so glad that Brother Tim, so far, has never disappointed me in anything that I've seen him do. Now, I know he's got his mistakes. I'm not trying to say he don't have. But I'm saying he's encouraging because he tries to exalt the Lord in everything that he does. That's what worship service is all about, lifting up the name of Jesus and glorifying him. And every now and then, just let Jesus come and sit down beside you, put his arm around you and squeeze you up a little bit and let you know that he loves you. Have you ever been sitting there when all of a sudden you feel the warmth and the tears begin to flow down your cheeks? That's when the Lord sits down and you submit to him. Just say, "Lord, I just need more of that. I want to be where you can bless me and help me. I want revived. I want the Lord to revive me." Now, the meaning of the word and the purpose of the word, if you'll notice through Scripture, it's used many times. I've got about four places I want to use it, but right now I want to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 57, quickly, and read verse 15 in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones." He is there to revive. Notice that, the humble and the contrite. The contrite means a bruised or broken or crushed spirit. And occasionally we get that way. Life, the paths of life will take us down places that we'll get crushed sometimes, and we need to be revived. But the Lord wants us to dwell with him because he revives these ones that are of a humble spirit and a contrite spirit. You notice the word revive there, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, the humble, depressed, and lowly. But when we submit to the Lord, that's when this will take place. Revival in the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3. Now, I may be turning too fast for you, reading too fast, but I don't want to keep you too long, but I do want to make a point. And I got about 5 or 6 places I want to read, and I pray, "Lord, help me not to miss a one of them. I don't want to miss a one." In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and you'll hear this referred to often. I have in the last couple of days in this book. But I want to read several verses out of chapter number 3 because of the condition that Jeremiah was in. In verse 14 of Lamentations, chapter 3, Jeremiah said, "I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. And then remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance. I'm glad for memory that all of it don't fail. Some of it fails, but all of it won't fail. He had this in his remembrance, and he said, is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And look at verse 32. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. A revival of compassion. God wants us to be just like him. He wants us to take the attributes that we receive from our Heavenly Father and share them with others. And you know, one of the greatest ones is going to be compassion. If we'll be compassionate and show that, and he'll have us to be compassionate, and he'll bring compassion into our life if we'll just yield to that very thing and let the Lord do that work. The compassion is a word also I want to give definition for. It's sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll just bypass this. I never want to get to the place where I don't have compassion. Because in every scripture tonight, just about that I'll read, you'll notice there is compassion, there's mercy, and there's grace. All about reviving. Not just revival for the land, Lord, revive me. David said, will thou not revive us again? Just do it again for me tonight. Help me in my heart. The word compassion means a suffering with another, a painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress of misfortune of another, pity. Compassion is a mixed passion, compounded of love and sorrow. At least some portion of love generally attends the pain or regrets or is excited by it. Extreme distress of an enemy even changes enmity into at least temporary affection. We ought to have compassion. Even for our enemies tonight, we ought to have compassion. We're different, and God wants us to be different. He expects us to be different. And in this text that we read concerning his compassions, they fail not. Sometimes ours fail. Sometimes we will get slack in ours. But David was a man after God's own heart. He was close to God. He was a spiritual man, but yet he asked God to revive him again. That was David's desire. Lord, he just longing to worship. And then another text I'd like to read in the book of Ezra, chapter number 9, in verse 8 and 9. Ezra, chapter number 9, and verse 8 and 9. And here you're, if you'll read the whole story about what Ezra had got involved in, is that the people of God in chapter 9 had mingled themselves with the people of the land. The holy seed had gotten mingled and in the wrong place. They was doing the wrong things. But he was a man that had come to the place that he had to face reality. He had to get to the place. God, I know there's got to be an answer for this. Every question in our life, God's got an answer for it. Every problem we have, God's got a solution. God never fails. And verse number 8, and now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen. Yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolations thereof, to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Ezra was learning to weep. He was learning to weep. He needed a revival, he said in verse number 8, to lighten our eyes. You know, when we think about to lighten, and I know this word may not mean in the sense of a burden, but have you ever been heavy-hearted and seemed like your eyes were heavy? I mean, sometimes you just feel like after a period of time, you just get down with just an old dreary headache because your eyes felt so heavy. That's because of the things that was going on in your life maybe, or a problem that you were facing. It's the burden. And he wanted to be able to weep for the people of God. They needed a revival in weeping. In chapter 10 of Ezra, you'll notice that when Ezra had prayed in verse number 1, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. They was learning to weep. They needed a revival to lighten their eyes, learning to weep. Sometimes we need a revival to learn to weep. When do we quit weeping for things that used to disturb us and bother us? When's the last time we wept over the sins of our loved ones, our family members, our home, or even our church family? When's the last time that maybe we were burdened about things? And if we don't express or show that burden, he got in this place because he cared. If you'll read the first part of this chapter, and especially when maybe even in verse 5, at the evening sacrifice, I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment, my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I'm ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our transgression is grown up into the heavens. He's seen the situation that they faced. For the people of God, Ezra needed a reviving to learn how to weep for the people of God. Now, you think about Jeremiah. He was a weeping prophet. Remember in Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 9, verse 1, he said, Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep for the slain of the daughter of my people. He cared about the people that he was affiliated with. We ought to be able to care about our families and friends and loved ones. Maybe we need a revival tonight of weeping for our families, our homes, our loved ones, and the situations that we face every day. If we get to the place that we cannot worship, as David had got to where he wanted to, longing to worship God and wanting a revival, he asked God to revive him, to help him to worship. Now remember that. He did. He said, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Rejoice in his worship and praising God. And now Ezra had got to that place where he wanted to lighten his eyes. He wanted a little reviving from the Lord. He needed to get to that place where he could weep for sinners and those around him that were affiliated in the problems that they had. They were family. Some of them were close, I'm sure. But we all get to the place sometimes that we need revival in worship. We need revival in weeping. Why? Because we have ceased from the things that we used to do. I can recall years ago when I first got saved, and I know it's no different today. If it is, it's because I let it get different. There wouldn't be a time that when I'd go to church that God wouldn't touch me in some way, that at least sometime I'd feel a tear sometime. But I notice today in our busyness, and we're so wrapped up in so many things sometimes, we don't have time. Don't have time. Don't take time. And don't get to that place where we can weep over the erring one and lift up the falling. And also in the book of Psalms chapter 138 and verse number 7, Psalms 138 and verse number 7, David again. He says, Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. There's God's mercy again. There's him asking for revival. In a time of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And this is making reference to his walk. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Sometimes we get lagging in our walk. You know, we sort of get behind. You ever been behind? There used to be an old saying, the hurrier I get, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. You ever heard that? And that happens a lot. We get so busy sometimes, and we get behind. And I know that's understandable, and all of us face those things. But even in that, we might know in our own hearts, sometimes we get lagging behind, running late. Well, I could go on and on and on, but you know where I'm talking about, or what I'm talking about? the things. And it's not just because of a time-wise that we fail to use wisely, but the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. We are a people, we are a creature of habit. And there's things that I do every day by habit. My wife says it's a ritual, but it's a habit. We all do that. If I didn't have certain habits, I guess I wouldn't know how to find a bowl to put cereal in, brother. I just wouldn't know unless I had habits. I go to the same place. I do the same things about every morning. But we have habits. But sometimes when we're going through life, if we don't take time to try to keep up with the things of God in our life, we'll get to that place to where that we'll be lagging behind in our walk. And I know sometimes it's habitual. Habitual, a former pastor used to say, a habitual sluggard. There's occasions where we just get simply lazy on God. And we won't try to change it. But listen, the Lord brings it to our attention. We ought to think about it. If he brings it to my attention, who's he wanting to know it? Me. So I know what I have to do with it. But in all these occasions as we go along, and God can show me something to encourage me along the way, and the next thing he wants me to do is to share it with someone else. And I'm glad tonight I can share with you that there has been occasions where the Lord has helped me where I was lagging behind in my walk with God, and he helped me to catch back up where I ought to be. To be an example, to be a help, to be a blessing. The general, when I think about my pastor tonight, I want to be an encouragement and a blessing to my pastor. I don't want to be a blister, and I don't want to be a burden to him. I don't want to cause hardship on him in any form, any way, for this church. And every individual member ought to feel the same way. God, make me a blessing to my church and my people that we associate with and in the services of God. Help me to be a help to anyone. If it's nothing else than opening the door, God, just help me to do it and not lag behind in my walk with God. There's another place I want you to read in the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2, and I'm sorry, chapter number 3 and verse number 2. Just simple thoughts, but all of them is concerning revival, and all of them's concerning the Lord's mercy, his grace, and compassion. In Habakkuk chapter number 3, verse number 1 and 2. Now, that's a hard book to find, and I made mention in Sunday school this morning. I'm going to get me one of them little things like Brother Jerry's got, where I can just punch that word in there, and I won't have to hunt. I wish I could do that to this one sometime. It gets embarrassing when the pastor will call out a certain chapter or a certain book, and I have trouble finding it. I thought, oh, my. I can tell age is slipping up on me, Pastor, when I do that. But I do have a place where I can find out where to find it. In the book of Habakkuk, in verse number 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet unto Shigalodoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Revive thy work. I believe he was to the place where he seen the people were lacking in the work of God. You know, just wasn't getting it done. If the work needs revived, what's that mean? What's that saying? What's Habakkuk saying? He's saying it needs to be revived. It's lacking. It's not getting done. There's things that's not getting done. But I'm glad for people that are concerned enough to fulfill the will of God in their life, that they'll be faithful, submit themselves, and just yield themselves to the Spirit of God. We can all be in these same places occasionally. There may be times when we need to ask the Lord to give us a revival. In his extended mercy, we need to ask him sometimes the same questions as David. Lord, revive us that we may worship you, having a longing to worship. And then, like Ezra, have a desire to weep for the people of God, learning to weep. And then in the latter part of Psalm chapter 138, when David also was referring to the walk, lagging behind. Sometimes we may get behind in our walk. We need to ask God to help us. And in Habakkuk, lacking in the work of God, there's a lot of things that's not getting done. And sometimes, if we would just put forth a greater effort, just a little bit of help from different individuals can cause things to be accomplished for God. There's times that we'll look around us, and I know we can find more to do. I want God to help me and to use me every opportunity that He has. I want to be faithful to the Lord, and I know each of us can be if we would just simply let the Lord do a work in our heart. Lord, would You do it again? Just revive us again. Help us tonight to submit ourselves. We're nobody important. We're just another one of the family. No, there's no big I's and little U's here tonight, and I'm glad it's that way. We're all God's children. We're not perfect, but we've all been accepted in the Beloved. We're all family, and I'm glad that I can a fellowship or have a conversation with any member of God's family and enjoy it and not feel like there's any difference, because we're family and we ought to be that way. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your blessings and Your help. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we've had to be here. God, I pray You'll help us tonight to question our hearts. Lord, that we would submit ourselves under Your care and Your watchful guiding. Lord, that You would help us to be faithful, to be sensitive to You. That, Lord, these things, we would question our hearts. God, when we need help tonight, we know where to go. Thank You, Lord, for a place that we can come and attend and get the help we need. Thank You, Lord, for that place that we can pray and fellowship with the family. Thank You for our church. God, I pray You'll bless it tonight. May it ever grow and go forward for the glory and honor of God. In Jesus' name, thank You. Brother Stewart, please, would you? Brother Tim.